Okay.
Sure, you're on.
Okay, Nosoi is always the parasha after Shavuos. Nosoi has 176 psukim, which is equal to the longest. It's the longest parasha. The longest kapitel Tilim is Kuf Yod Tes, also 176 psukim. And what you're learning in our Bava Basra is also 176 psukim. That's what the Velt says. It's not really true because Bava Basra is really 175 blot, but it has Kuf Ayin Vav blot. If you look in the Mefarshim, you look in Medrash, you look in Zoya, you look in Sfarim and Parashat Nosoi, you look in Medrash, Parashat Zoya, and you look in the Zoya, the Torah, it is the longest parasha in the whole of Bamidbar written about. Not only is the longest parasha, the Medrash in Nosoi is equal almost to all the other parashas of Bamidbar put together. And you can't say it's because it's the longest parasha, because it's equal to all the other parashas, and also 60 psukim are all the same thing, just repeating again and again. So what's the pshat? You see so much beforeshim written in parashas Nosoi. So the pshat is that they went through a Matan Torah, and Matan Torah inspired them, and with this inspiration, they were able to be mechadish so much more Torah. A person goes through a Kabbalah Satorah, that should inspire a person. You shouldn't just lose that inspiration right away. You should put it down practical, do something amaisa with it. The Ramban writes, you saw it like this in this week's parasha, in Perek Vav. One second. It says about the Nozir. Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Dalet. Why does a Nozir bring a Korban Chatos when he finishes his Naziris? V'tam HaChatos SheYakriv HaNozir. What's the reason he brings a Chatos? What Chet did he do? He says, Ki Ish HaZeh Choyte, he did a Chet. Why? Because he finished his Naziris. When he was a Nozir, he raised his level to a high level. And now he's going to go back to regular life again. He had this inspiration. And the fact that he's losing it now, going to a lower level. Well, obviously, he had no choice to some degree. He did not Nazir for a while. But it teaches you a lesson. The fact is lowering himself now. After Yom Tov, we also have no choice. But it has to, first has to try and hold on to the inspiration that he has. In this week's parasha, you get Parashas Nozir, Parashas Soita, Chazal say, Lama Nismacha, Parashas Nozir, and Parashas Soita. Why are they next to each other? Sharoi Soita, Bilkil Kula. Somebody sees what happens to a Soita, Yazra Asfam in a Yayin. Should make himself a Nozir. You see what drinking wine produces. This woman, what happened to her? So now make yourself a nozir not to drink wine. And the question which all the four Hashem ask is an obvious question. If anybody is not going to get drunk now, is if somebody sees what happens to Satan. You see her dying, that horrible death, that's going to keep you away from drinking. A person like that to make yourself a nozir, it should be whoever doesn't see a nozir, who doesn't see a Satan being destroyed like that, being killed like that, should make himself a nozir. Why is it that somebody who sees it should become a nozir? And the pshat is that you saw it as well. Somebody who sees a soita says, wow, look what happened. Look what happened from drinking wine. I'm inspired now to be careful. A person is inspired. Do something with it now. Don't let those feelings dissipate. Put it into something lamaisa. And so therefore, make yourself a nozir. Hold on to it. This is a famous Ramban in Shir Shirim. So the words on the words ad shetachpots, ad shetiru, I forget the lashon of the pasuk exactly, and the word ad shetachpots means a lashon of a chayfet. He learns you have a sirus of av of the rabbanim shalom, bring it down, make a chayfet out of it. Do something practical to hold on to those feelings. You see, also in the parasha of Nozir, it says that. That after he finishes Naziris, it says, V'achar, and afterwards, Yishteh HaNozir Yayin. After he finishes, he drinks wine. It says, after he finishes, it says, it calls him a Nozir after he finishes Naziris. Why does it refer to him as a Nozir after he's finished? It should say, V'achar, and afterwards, Yishteh Yayin. But he doesn't do that. It actually calls him a Nozir after he's finished. And the Ksav Sefer explains the reason is Because after it's finished, there should be some sediments, some residue left of Naziris. The acher yishtaham noze yayin. There's some Naziris left in him. He still feels that connection to Naziris even after it's finished it. And then once again at the end of the parasha, it says, Zois chanukah samizbeach, right at the end of the parasha. B'yoyim himoshach oisoy. On the day was anointed, this was the chanukah samizbeach. And then a few psukim later it says, Zois chanukah samizbeach achar himoshach oisoy. This was the dedication of Zbeach after they anointed it. Why does it say, once b'yoyim himoshach oisoy, and once achar himoshach oisoy? So I think it's a Chiddush Harim explained, Pshat is, that on the day you dedicate the Mishkan, on the day, let's say, a person gets married, on the day, there are certain days in people's lives where they're very inspired. The day of the Chanukah Mizbech was a day of great inspiration. Zois Chanukah Mizbech, b'yoyim Mashach Yisai. But what happens? Afterwards, those feelings wear off. They dissipate. And the person goes back to his regular mundane life. Those feelings of inspiration are gone. Those feelings of joyousness of the day of the dedication. But it tells you that it wasn't like that. Zois Chanukah Mizbech, Acharei Mashach Yisai. After the Mashiach, after the anointing, they still had those strong feelings. Perakei, Pasuk Zion. V'isvadu es chatosom asher osu. They have to confess the sins they did. V'heishiv zashomoy, and bring their carbon. What are the words? V'hisvadu es chatos, and they should confess the sins asher osu, that they did. What other sins are they going to confess? Just right. V'isvadu es chatosom. Confess their sins. So the pshat is, when a person does a chet, usually that chet wasn't all he did. It was consequences of previous actions. And that led him to do this chet. Let's say gzela is a perfect example. The person steals. Usually, it wasn't just the stealing. Before he was over at loisachmoid. He was jealous of another person. And in the end, he came to steal. And with many chatoim, it's like that. A person misses shachris one morning. You have to look the night before what happened. So when a person does vidya on a chet, it's not good enough just to do vidya on the actual chet. This vadus chatosom asher osu means also what they did, the causes of the chet. A person also has to do vidya for and feel sorry for what caused and brought about that chet. The Zeporana says over here, Moedik Apshat, and the biggest side in life. And he says, if you look at the pasuk beforehand, Ish, Dabar Bnei Yisrael, Isha Yisha, it's talking about Gezel Hager. A person stole from a ger, and now he's doing tshuva on that chet. Says the Zeporano, Ki omnom hagoyz lo isoy. Somebody steals from a ger, he's not doing a regular stealing. He's making a chil Hashem. Why? Because the ger, he came lachsoyz tachas kanfei hashchina. He came to be a yid. He saw yidin. What a religion. Moral, upright people. It's the perfect religion. And then he joins this religion and somebody steals from him? Can you imagine what a shock it is? To such a person, as mamish, he's, I can't believe this is what I joined. The chil Hashem that comes out of it. So it says, that is why Dafka, it says it over here, the din of vidui. This is the whole halacha of vidui is taught over here. The chinuch brings down this, the mitzvah of vidui. This is where we learn it from. Because over here, this is the worst part of a chet. Because every chet a person does to some degree, there's chil Hashem involved. So over here it's telling you, where a person can easily see this one, it says the chil Hashem in it. And the perfect example is, we have constantly by us, a person becomes a Baal Tshuva. And he comes to Davin in Yeshul, and he sees you talking in Kaddish, sees you talking Chazaras Hashatz. Imagine what a shock it is to him. He sees a person talking Lashon Hara. He says, not just the Chet you're doing, there's the Chil Hashem. And that is why over here, it pointed out, Dafka over here, the mitzvah of vidui. Another pshat, though, in these words, why dafka over here does it teach you vidui by gezel, not any other chet? What's the example of a chet you have to do vidui on, you have to confess? Why dafka over here does it teach you the chiyuv and the mitzvah of vidui when a person does a chet? Because every single chet a person does is gzela. What is gzela? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a guf. It's not yours. It belongs to the Rabbani Shlom. And you're taking that guf and doing a chet with it. So that's gzela from the Rabbani Shlom. What right did he have? Imagine, let's say, that the manal lends you his car and you just said, I'm starving, I haven't eaten anything, please let me go to Wesley Kosher, I want to buy something to eat. And he knows you haven't eaten, you didn't get supper or something, he feels bad for you. He says, okay, I'll let you go quickly. And he gives you his car during night seder to go to Wesley Kosher to buy something to eat. And what do? In the car, you take five guys with you, and you drive them to buy a Slurpee in 7-Eleven. So that is, again, it's a gazela that to do that. That's mamash gazela. So it's the same thing. The Ribbono Shel'olam, he didn't give you a car, he gave you your guf. Your whole guf is the Ribbono Shel'olam's. And you're taking that, and you're using it against the Ribbono Shel'olam. What a chutzpah it is. You need vidui on that as well. On every chet, you've got to do a vidui for the gazela you did. The end of the parasha, you have the Nesi'im and the Karbonos they bring. And of course, all the Mepharshim speak about each one is listed. Why are they listed so many times? They could have just said it once. But I just want to focus on one point there. The beginning of the Nesi'im, you have the first is Nachshon ben Aminadov. And when it lists his Karbonos, it's different to every other Karbon. By him, when it lists, it doesn't give him the title Nossi. Every other Nossi that it lists before his name. It says who he is. He's the Nossi. Why doesn't he give Nachshon ben Aminadov that title? So I'll share with you a couple of interesting pshat a minute. First, I'll just bring out first with a, to give you an understanding of it. In England, they have a strange minhag there, which is hard in the United States to relate to such a thing. And that is when a person, after he becomes a doctor, there's a higher level than a doctor. Here you can be a doctor and that's it. There's a higher level. After you finish that level of doctor and you study more and you take more tests, then you get a new, what is your title then? Your title becomes Mr. Mr. You're not a doctor anymore. What's the pshat in it? Pshat is that you don't need the title doctor already. Your choshev, doctor means I need something to describe who I am. I'm that choshev, I don't need that description of me. In other words, my name is my title. A cousin of mine was one of the most famous moilim. He taught many of the moilim today. He taught them, Rabbi Fish and Monsi, I think he taught. And one time, there was a very difficult case, how to mal a child. And one of the most choshev doctors in England wanted to discuss with him. He went to the doctor's office, and they were going to have a discussion about it. So when he came there, the receptionist at the desk asked him, who are you? So he said, Halpern. So she calls in and said that Dr. Halpern is here to see you. So he said to Mr. Halpern, oh, I'm so sorry. She called in again, Mr. Halpern is here to see you. It's not a doctor at all. She didn't cross her mind, he's just a regular mister. But she thought she insulted him by calling him a doctor when he's a mister. In other words, you've reached a higher level than that. In the army, I was told, everybody wears dog tags. You have your name, except for a general. Generals don't have dog tags. Why? You have to know who they are. So they told, whenever a general comes to base, everybody's asking, who is the guy? You know, you ask each other, nobody has a clue. So over here, Nachshon ben Aminadov. Nachshon is the one who jumped in the sea. Nachshon alone needs a title. He doesn't have to say the title Nossi by him. His name was his title. He was Nachshon ben Aminadov. It skips the title here. This is the Rechaim's pshat. He had Malosos mitzad atmoi. His Milo was also himself, not also the title. The Rechaim says, it doesn't say a title. Another pshat from the Rechaim says, he wasn't Machshiv himself as a Nossi. It was Anivas. It could have written Nossi. It wanted to show he didn't look himself as a Nossi at all. And therefore, it's written without to show the Anivas of Nachshon ben Aminadov. The Cheskuni says the exact opposite of the Racham HaKadosh. The Cheskuni says the reason it's not called a Nasi is in order that he shouldn't be a Baal Gaiva. His first. When you're the first, called up to be first, you feel, I'm a somebody. You can give, you can take on a nice ego trip. So he's called Nachshimanov without the title, and I was just to lower him one level. You have the parasha of Seita in this week's parasha. And in order to make Shalom ben Ish l'Ishtoi, HaKadosh Baruch allowed his name to be erased. Why is that? What's the pshat in it? Because philosophically makes very good sense. Why? Because he's not having his name erased. Because when Hashem is, when there's harmony in a home, the Shechinah is Shrei Yisham. The Shechinah is there in the home when there's harmony there. So though that couple has erased the name of Hashem, what you're doing is you're erasing this name to bring permanently back into that home the Shem Hashem. So it's not pshat, you're really exchanging a name of Hashem. You're bringing back, and that's a much more permanent one, that the Shechinah be Shruya in that home. You bring the Shalom there. So that is why you're allowed to erase the Shem Hashem. It's just a different seraph of Shem Hashem. Again, you see over here the Hashivas of Shalom. You look in Parashat B'chukosai. In the brachas there, it ends off with the bracha of Shalom. And Chazal say, you can have Machal, you can have Mishnah, you can have everything in life. If there's no Shalom, there's nothing. You need Shalom in order to be able to experience any bracha. That's the Hashivas of Shalom. And of course, that's Negev to you as well. You read the Parsha of Satan, you think, I was by Bar Mitzvah last night. And somebody gets up and he says, like, I was wondering what to speak about. I didn't think Satan was too appropriate to speak about. Couldn't think of tying in Nozir. The Kabbonis at the end. So in the end, he managed to talk about Brichas Koyanim. Wasn't a Koyan. But he managed to tie that in. But you think, then Parsha Seita, what's it got to do with me? Parsha Seita for Negev, at least you see the Hashivas of Shalom over there. And in Yeshiva, that's very, very Negev. Because sometimes in Yeshiva, people feel a lack of entertainment. What do I do for entertainment purposes? Ah, they find something entertaining. To make latanas of somebody else. To start up with somebody. To cause them, to annoy somebody. That can be very amusing. This, I see this once in a while. And so that is a lesson that you should take out. The Ribbono Shel Olam is willing to have his name erased for the sake of Shalom. You should make sure that you don't do the opposite of that. Forget to be Marbisholm as much as you can. Shabbos.